Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again, celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC. At 50. You are listening to WGMC at 50. I'm Rob Linton, and today delighted to be with one of our midday volunteer hosts, Mike Velazquez. Mike, thanks for hanging out with us, taking the time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here, and let me tell my story, as boring as it might be. but I thank you again, and definitely appreciate you having me here.
Sure. So you have been, how long has it been now since you've been here?
Well, I measure that by my son's graduation. He graduated 13 years ago, so it's been about 13
gosh.
Years. Yeah, it hasn't seemed that long.
No.
You know, definitely.
No.
But it's been a thrill ride the whole time through. I'm so happy and fortunate that I have found this place and be able to come here and share my love for the music. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that I've met that may be no longer here and the people that are currently here have all been great. And it's been a wonderful time, and I hope to be here for many, many, many years to come.
So how did you, way back in the day, find us and come to want to do a show here? Because you've been on a couple of different shifts over the years.
Yeah. I've worn a few hats here during the years. But our former Friday night host, Gary Omfroy, who's affectionately known as Gary O, was someone who visited the church that I went to through his brother-in-law, who was a member. And we'd see each other at social events and, you know, parties and things like that. And one day we're talking, and whenever we got together, there were two things we either talked about. There was either music or sports.
Sure.
So this day we're talking about music, and he kept referring to a radio show that he had. And the first time I heard it, I said, well, maybe I misheard him. But then he said it again. I'm like, well, what radio show are you talking about? He says, well, I do a radio show on Jazz 90.1 FM. I'm like, and I heard of the station, but I didn't quite know the workings of it, and that, mm-hmm. you know, it was basically manned by volunteers. And I said, man, I'd love to do something like that, mm-hmm. because I did it while I was in college. And he gave me your information, and I came in and met with you and Derek. And next thing I know, I'm training with our resident artist, Mad Max Wheeler.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yes, Max trained me. And the next thing I know, I'm on a Monday night from 10 a.m. till 2 in the morning. And scared to death.
Yeah.
That first night, because I was here and there was nobody else here.
Right.
So I was, you know, whether we were going to be on the air or not depended solely on me. And luckily I got through it. I had a couple of phone calls that kind of made me put me in a little frenzy. A guy called, I want to say it on 1:40 in the morning on that first night, and wanted to hear a Miles Davis song that I had never heard of. So I walk into the library, which when you first see it is one of the most daunting things you will ever look at. If you're a DJ trying to think about picking music, you walk in there and say, how am I going to find anything in this place?
Sure.
And there was, I mean, we got more Miles Davis than anything. So that's when I first learned that sometimes you're not going to be able to get to every request. And I played a Miles Davis song, but it wasn't quite what he wanted to hear. But it was all good, and the rest is history, I guess.
So at the time, you were still working full-time.
Yes, I was working for the city of Rochester in the Department of Recreation and Youth Services. I did it for 35 years. Another passion of mine is youth development, and two of my most favorite things that we do here is the things we do with our jazz kids with the Greece Olympia.
Yeah.
I mean, the Greece Athena High School kids, what Jacqueline Breeze does with the jazz kids here. It's something that once it got a hold of me, I just couldn't let it go.
Yeah.
And remembering people who were influential in my life growing up, because we were latchkey kids, our parents worked, and you know, once we got a certain age, we kind of had to fend for ourselves. It was a different time, though. You had adults who were always looking out for you, whether you liked it or not.
Right.
You know, you weren't gonna get away with doing anything sneaky. If Mrs. Stewart down the street saw you doing something you weren't supposed to be doing, guess what? Your parents were gonna find out about it very shortly and in great detail.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there was going to be no wiggling out of it. And but I'm so happy and proud of the way that that happened. It kept me and my brother obviously out of trouble. And I appreciate it to this day. And I try to pass along wisdom and love to the youth, and hopefully I did. Did it for 35 years, and like I said, it was a great experience, something I'll never forget.
How did you get into jazz? Has it been a lifelong passion of yours? Talk about that a little bit.
I've loved jazz ever since I was a kid. My uncle was a drummer, and his guys were, of course, Art Blakey and Max Roach. And he'd play a lot of their music when I would visit him, and he'd talk about jazz. And I loved the music right from the beginning. But being a little kid, you get distracted in other forms of music like pop and R&B. And then when hip-hop came along, I was really into that. But then, you know, you kind of keep gravitating back toward it. George Benson, the Breezin' album, was the album that changed my life. I was a top 40 kid. Listen to Casey Kasem's top 40 every Sunday morning. And I heard This Masquerade going up the charts, and I loved it. Loved George Benson's voice. And my mother would get me albums every Christmas, Ohio Players, Earth, Wind & Fire, whoever it may be. And one day I asked her, I said, Mom, you know what? For Christmas, I want this album from this great singer named George Benson. She says, okay. So she got me the album. I played the album. This Masquerade was the only song that he sang on the album.
Yeah.
So that was quite a shock. But I loved his playing, and I was hooked ever since then. And like that was the first jazz album I ever received. The first jazz album I bought with my own money was Chuck Mangione's Feels So Good.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking LP.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. No question about it. We're talking LP.
Yep.
And I think I had to buy another copy of both of those because I wore those two
out.
And, you know, but like I said, it got me into jazz. And it got me into discovering other jazz artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, you listen to George Benson. I wonder, man, you know, how did he learn to play like that? And my uncle mentioned Wes Montgomery. Mm-hmm. So I listened to Wes Montgomery, and the next thing you know, I'm like, okay, that's kind of where his influence was. Finding out that Chuck Mangione played with Art Blakey and was a member of the Jazz Messengers, and finding out the history of these people and, you know, how they got to be where they were.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, looking way back, did you ever, as you were listening to Casey Kasem and that kind of thing, did you ever envision that you'd be on the radio someday?
You know what? It was always a dream of mine to do it. But, you know, other pulls happen, you know.
Supporting your family.
Yes, you know, family, kids, a house, a mortgage, all that good stuff. you know, that stuff came along and you know, that's just the way that went. I've always been a big radio listener.
Mm-hmm.
Love talk radio. I used to listen to Jim Rohn quite a bit because, like I said, I love sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was always in my blood. And when I finally got a chance to do it, I just couldn't believe that the opportunity arose. And it was, you know, a relatively seamless transition. Mm-hmm. You know, I was doing it while I was still working, and I would do the shows at night, and sometimes I'd find myself at work thinking about my show at night. I had to kind of, you know, refocus sometimes. But, yeah. You know, I always dreamed about it. Wasn't quite sure it would ever become a reality. I thought that the most I would be on the radio would be calling in with an opinion on the Jim Rome show or any other talk radio show. I thought that was going to be the extent of it.
So you eventually then retired, and yes. What made you decide, you know, hey, rather than going and kicking my feet up and taking a nap ski every day or maybe sitting on a beach somewhere, to donate your time to do a daily show?
The love of the music. When you asked me about it, I had some reservations because I wasn't sure if I was good enough. One thing about me, I want to represent what I'm doing and who I'm doing it for in a positive and professional way. Mm-hmm. And I talked about it with Francine, my wife, and she just flat out told me, said, well, you know what? If Rob didn't think you could do it, he wouldn't have asked, you. And usually, as happens with our discussions, I thought about it, and you know, she was right again.
We'll make sure we send her that audio clip, okay?
Yeah, she'll need that. You know what I mean? Like she needs to know she's right. But anyway, you know. And like I said, the love of the music and wanting to spread my love of the music.
Sure.
And with it being the type of station that we have, where we, I don't want to say that we do have some artistic freedom. We have to do what we have to do, which is in all radio. Mm-hmm. But to be able to spread the word of jazz and, you know, not just play the legends, you know, the new artists, which I love doing. You know, the local artists that we have here that we play, the Laura Dubins, the Deanna Witkowskis, people with local ties like Rick Braun, Nick Finzer, the young keyboardist, Hannah P.K., you know, Bill Tiberio. So many people from around here that we are able to, you know, spread their talent and, you know, showcase what they do. And that's one of the things I love about the station. I love the live studio concert series. I've never heard of anything like that anywhere where people can come in and do their thing and be heard worldwide, you know?
So you had the opportunity and are having the opportunity to be here as we celebrate 50 years. Talk about that a little bit.
Being part of a legacy like that, and like I said earlier, I want to represent that in a positive and productive way. Some of the people that have come before me who may no longer be here with us working or in our presence, the Paul Connellys, the Gary Omfroys, you know, people like Jim McGrath, who I still see from time to time. You know, Jack Mindy, who, you know, talking to Jack when I first got here was a big help, helping me to try to relax on the air and be more myself. You know, some of the people that have been here before, some of the people that are here now, yourself, Derek Lucas, Linda Wildman, I forgot to mention Joel Van Buren, who was a huge help to me, with certain things, how I would come across over the air, in her own very special way. Very special.
That's
way.
For sure.
And, you know, just being part of that legacy and hoping that it goes on for another 50 years. I want this to go on long after I've, you know, said my goodbyes for the last time.
Sure.
And I think that's really important to me. And it is America's greatest and probably longest art form is jazz. And it should live forever. And we got, and I think it will. There's so many great young artists out there that we play, the Joey Alexanders, the Grace Kellys, the Justin Lee Schultzes, the Samara Joys that we've been fortunate enough to meet here at Member Supported Jazz 90.1 are keeping that music going, and hopefully we're going to keep it going too. And that's the plan.
Excellent. Well, Mike, thank you very much for everything you do and your volunteerism and your wonderful show. We're lucky to have you.
Well, you know, I'm lucky to be here, and I want to thank you. I want to thank Derek. You guys endlessly put me in a position to do what I love doing, and I appreciate it every time I walk through that door.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating 5 decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.